Let's get out to the Banner Brothers hotline and bring in Dick Harmon from the Deseret News. Dick, it's been too long, but we appreciate you coming on the airways with us. How you doing, buddy?
It's good to be on with you and Brian. And you know, Brian Logan does have a good name. It's kind of like a soap opera star name, Brian Logan.
Yeah, it is. He could actually pull that off, huh? We'd have to kind of, you know, actually, he would actually be a pretty good actor. You got the smile, you got the look. And in fact, Tom Cruise, I think, is like 5'7". And so what they do
is.
I think
he's like 5'4".
Is he 5'4"?
I think so. He's pretty short.
So whenever he had to walk next to like Nicole Kidman or something like that, a taller woman, they'd always have to put him up elevated. Yeah. So, but I mean, you're tall enough. I think
it's
you can get
all
away
good,
with it,
man. I could do some surgeries or some HGH maybe.
Oh my gosh, he didn't just
say
that.
Is that too far?
Just cut that out. Dick Harmon, appreciate you coming on with us, Dick. Right now. We talked about in the first few segments, and we brought on Kelly Papinga earlier in the show, and we've been talking about the perception of BYU post-season, post-brawl, currently in the recruiting battles. You'd like to see BYU do better with the in-state recruits. Some of them are decommitting, going elsewhere. Some are not committed right now. In your opinion, what's the perception of BYU football?
Well, I think I got a pretty good pulse with fans. Fans are still reeling. They're still emotionally shaken up from watching their team lose to Nevada and at home and having a home schedule that has Savannah State. I think they're bruised because the University of Utah won 9 games and they're in the Pac-12. I think BYU's fans have just kind of been battered about. And then coming off a bowl game, which they probably should have won but didn't win, in the embarrassment of the brawl, I think they're just reeling. I think they're in a state of mourning, a little bit of a state of shock. Some people disappointed, discouraged, trying to get a handle on where are we going to see a little bit more success, where are we going to be and feel happy about what we see. So I think that's the perception out there right now with a lot of people is what is going on and how is it going to get better.
Dick, do you think that perception has hurt the current BYU commits and why we're seeing some of the decommits?
It may have some impact. I couldn't sit here and say, yeah, it's not having any impact at all. I think the most important thing about recruiting is playing time, fitting into a program. I got off the phone last week with a recruit from Coppell, Texas, named Charles West. Now, this is different from the local recruiting, but Charles West is a guy that runs a 10-4, 100 meters. He's been clocked at 4-4, a sub-4-4, maybe a sub, maybe 4.38. This guy can fly. And if you watch his videos, you'll see that he is a top caliber type of an athlete that BYU does not get very often. And in talking to him, he said, I wanted to go to BYU. I'm not a Mormon. I wanted to go to BYU because I wanted to get away from the party style, the drinking, the parties. I wanted to concentrate on my academics. I wanted to go graduate from school. And I wanted to be on ESPN and be exposed and have my family and friends all over the country watch. Now, if that's a selling point from a guy outside of Dallas, Texas, who's playing in one of the toughest leagues in all of Texas, plays against South Lake Carroll, against Euless Trinity, and was named the most valuable player in that district, playing against that kind of competition, then there's probably some handles here of why BYU's attractive, even though they've had a couple of 8-win seasons and lost a couple of bowl games.
What else did you learn about Mr. West? I'm extremely interested in his abilities as a running back, also why he came to BYU. I think the pitch was pretty strong too. You have the running back position wide open right now. Jamal Williams coming back, yes, but he's coming off an ACL surgery. Do you think that played a big role in his commitment?
I think it did. BYU offered him before he came to a summer camp last year, and so they were very aware of him. There's an LDS teammate down there that he was acquainted with, and they came out here and drove all the way out here and went to summer camp. So he was very familiar with BYU. He's a guy with 10 scholarship offers. Arkansas was looking really hard at him in Southeast Conference territory. The guy is kind of what I would say is a utility sprinter. He's a field spreader. He's an edge runner. He's a guy that can play and stretch a field. You go from sideline to sideline. We're talking jet sweeps. We're talking about getting the ball into his hands in open space and then forcing the defense to have to cover him. His head coach, Mike DeWitt, told me he's got speed. He's got major league speed, but he's got a second gear once he gets going and gets around. He can turn the corner on defenses. He puts a tremendous pressure on corners and linebackers and safeties because he can outrun them most of the time. We've seen some of that talent at Utah over the past few years and how they use it in open space. And I think that's what you're looking at for kickoff returns, punt returns, maybe a guy that's playing receiver or running back, kind of a combo type of a player, just make plays out for him and let him go to work and use his talent. It's a kind of he's a kind of a player that I don't think BYU gets very often.
Dick, if a guy like that who's not LDS and has all the potential in the world is wanting and has that desire to come to BYU, why is it difficult for the in-state kids to want to come to BYU right now?
Well, I think there's some other things at work here. You have Gary Anderson now that's been at Wisconsin, that now is at Oregon State. He's recruiting. He knows where these people are. He knows there's talent. You've got Norm Chow over in Hawaii, even though he's not picking up anybody right now. You got Steve Sarkisian that came in and got this kid at Brighton High School, Messina. Yep. I mean, you have more people recruiting this state than at any time in history. And because of that, you're getting these kids that are grown up. A lot of them may or may not be those superstars. They may or not be, they get named a five-star or four-star. They start to see and feel it, and they want to go out and see what the world's like and maybe go play for a Southern Cal and that. So you're getting these kind of guys spread around, and they're getting attention, and they're getting picked up by major league recruiters. That's never happened before. So before I would say so much that BYU is feigning to recruit them and feigning to get them to sign, I think it's more of outside influences and these kids being exposed in a way that they want to maybe take a different look at different things and get away from the tradition where BYU has been the dominating recruiter in the state.
The legend, Dick Harmon, the guy that has been around the BYU football and basketball program for we're looking at, 40 years now, Dick? I mean, how long have you been doing this?
I started accepting money covering BYU in 1990.
Started invoicing?
No, I started covering when, you guys know Blaine Fowler. I started writing about him when he was in high school in Elmira, New York, and Steve Young at Greenwich High School in Connecticut. Danny Ainge, he was at North Eugene High School. Jim McMahon, when he was at Roy High School. That's the kind of era that I started my career in.
Well, we appreciate you joining us here on Cougar Sports on ESPN 960. I wanted to touch on basketball as well. The perception of the football team is we've concluded it's around a B right now. You know, you're not. We kind of feel a little bit stagnant right now, 3-8-5 seasons, ending on somewhat of a negative note, even though that bowl game was extremely exciting. I mean, I was actually quite entertained after that, yes. During that and after that game. But what's the perception of BYU basketball right now? Last week, Lunardi had BYU as one of the four teams out, and now after the San Diego loss, it looks like they could be plummeting even further down those charts. What do they got to do to get back on track?
I wrote a column for tomorrow just kind of outlining some of these things. It's kind of panic mode right now. They're on the verge of not making the NCAA tournament, being an NIT team. They're losing games that they shouldn't lose. They had a week to prepare for San Diego. They went down there. They didn't play very well. There's individual players that did not play very well. The news, today is that Nate Austin, who is sorely needed by this basketball team, the only experienced big post player, or inside the paint player, a guy that knows the defense, knows how to close out, knows how to go up and break up that big screen up at the top, those pick and rolls, rebounds like an animal. It's smart. It's very well salted in Dave Rose's system. He's gone. Can't play. He gets injured in a warm-up against the University of Utah on December the 10th.
Is that the first time you've ever seen that, Dick, by the way? Like a ruptured hamstring and during stretching?
I have never seen that. I have watched some of the best sprinters in the world. I've watched them here at BYU on BYU's track. I've watched people pull up with hamstrings all the time. I have never seen anybody get that kind of a ruptured hamstring in a warm-up.
McKay Jacobson.
I
think it was against Wyoming or something. I don't think we really needed him. I can't remember exactly, but I just remember him being on the sidelines, street clothes, and Corby Easton was just clowning him. I was like, "What's wrong with McKay?" He's like, he pulled his hamstring. We're like, "When?" He's like, "They're warm up." I was like, "What? For real? Warm ups? Really? You kidding me? Warm ups, man? Come on, dude."
Yeah, I don't know. That's right. Was it hammy or was it a groin? I can't remember. But
it was a hammy.
Oh man.
I'm like, come on, man. You can't just be going down for 2 seconds and you hear a pop. I don't know. Anyway, that season just brings back memories. Like, I'm thinking about my groin and hammies right now. Dick, with this basketball team, I'm gonna be blue goggled right now. Let's say they go 8-1, you know, for the rest of the season, and they maybe lose to Gonzaga, play them tough. Let's say they head into the tournament, and let's say they lose the championship. Do you think that they have an opportunity to get in?
I think it would be very tough for them with the losses that they've had in this league to Pepperdine and to and San Diego. St. Mary's on the road, they had a chance at that one, and maybe they could have, you know, that's not a bad loss.
Mm-hmm.
St. Mary's still keeps winning, but you got a tough trip up at Portland. You got to play at Pepperdine still. It's going to be hard for them to go 8-1. What they need to do, you know, is to get things going and to get healthy and to rejuvenate themselves, and then get what they can, get a good seeding at the tournament, and then they've got to go all the way. They're capable of defeating teams in a tournament in a three-game situation. Will they? Probably not. Can they beat Gonzaga? I don't think so. I would never predict that they would, either in Spokane or in Las Vegas. But you've been at this long enough, you can see that tournament upsets happen all the time in three games where people get tired, there's injuries, somebody gets hot. Anytime you have a three-point oriented team, when you're hot and you can do damage. And when you're not, you can lose to anybody, and that's where BYU is right now.
I feel like the target of criticism on the back of Bronco Mendenhall is much larger than the one on Coach Rose, but especially in regards to recruiting, I think there was a major oversight, and I think you can see that in the last 3 years in the recruitment of big men. There's no reason why BYU, I think, should be in the position that they're in right now with their 4 and 5 spots, having to rely on guys that aren't ready to play Division I basketball, and they're not able to produce. What's gone on there? Why has BYU struggled to bring in those 4s and those 5s that can contribute? Apart from Mika, I'm not seeing a whole lot of optimism there.
No, you know, and I think somebody needs to be held accountable for that in the recruiting and evaluation. And I'm not knocking this guy. The guys that are playing, they're playing hard. They just fundamentally are not ready to play. They don't handle the ball very well. They don't receive the ball well. They don't shoot. They don't have a basket full of or a toolbox of shots that are, you know, worth it. They're not threats inside. They don't rebound very well. They can play 10 minutes. Some of these guys get 1 or 2 rebounds. How does a 6'10 guy do that? I don't know. If I was 6'10, I think I could get a rebound in 10 minutes. But that's not
right.
Happening. That's just not happening. And I think that goes right to the core of this coaching staff. What were they thinking? Who were they evaluating? Who did they let go? There's a 7-footer at Utah, I think, that's LBS, that probably would have been interested in being recruited a little bit harder. There's the Colette kid at Utah State that's showing very well, and maybe he would have liked to have been recruited harder. And I'm not sure what it was, you know, how they were into him or how they're not into him, what offers were made or what evaluations or why they didn't come. But, you know, you're talking about a program that has a great tradition. You're talking about a program that has Krešimir Ćosić, a Hall of Famer, one of the top collegiate basketball players in the world, and people still over in Slovakia and Yugoslavia and those Slavic countries, they still know him. They talk about him. He's a legend. Why can't BYU go over to Europe, where his name and use use his name to recruit and to get some people over here. Right now, foreign athletes over in Europe and in Australia and in Brazil and other countries are showing up in the top 15 of the NBA draft. And Utah University, Utah's got a guy from Austria, a 7-foot guy that really is a force inside. They went after. Why isn't BYU doing that? We haven't seen it for a long, long time since Rafael Arruzio. And they kind of got into him through the junior college connections in Arizona. But why not the resources? Why not the recruiting? Why not the identification? Why not the evaluation? Why not the bringing in of bodies? Why have a situation where your most experienced player gets a hamstring pull, and all of a sudden you're going to four different combinations of guards and offenses and gimmicks because you're caught in the wear? That's just unacceptable.
If you were to sit down with both Coach Rose and Coach Mendenhall, and they were completely transparent with you, and I know we're projecting here and we're speculating a little bit, but I wonder what they would say to the question of why. So, for instance, Coach Rose, why have you struggled in recruiting big men? What do you think would be the first response or the most valid excuse that you think that he would give to you?
Honor code.
Well, I don't know. I would say honor code, and I would say mission. I mean, missions. There's a lot of players that that go on missions and they don't progress. They don't get better. Basketball is one sport where it's so important for you to develop your skills from year to year, from year month to month. It's a year-round training program, and that's one thing. But you know, the honor code is an issue.
See, that brings me to my point.
So would Bronco say the same thing then? You say honor code?
Knowing Bronco the way that I do, he would say our honor code is our strength. Our honor code is a pillar.
Yeah.
Our honor code
is that's definitely Bronco. But that goes to my point, though, as far as saying, okay, we're talking about recruiting and lack of recruiting, and we're saying, well, we think these are the possible reasons, honor code and missions and things like that, which makes BYU very unique place, right, to coach at. And so because of that, going back to the Boise State formula or model with football, go into a lesser conference where that's not going to play a factor because you're still able to get higher in athletes than a normal.
I can see,
you know,
I can see Herr Thompson looking like Smithers off of Mr. Burns. I mean, Mr. Burns off of The Simpsons.
Well,
just saying, excellent, come back.
I know Brian's, floated that idea many, many times, and it's a worthwhile thing to look at, and I don't want to discount what Brian's opinion is, but I'm not so sure if what you're trying to do right now is to go back to the Mountain West Conference for a lot of different reasons. The history of that conference with BYU is very interesting. BYU is one of the founding members, really ticked off a lot of people when they got together in an airport and all of a sudden created the conference behind the backs of other universities, including SMU and Tulsa and some others. And as a founding member, BYU was promised that they could replay BYU's basketball games and have access with their own facilities. And then that was on a handshake. There was a mistake made by the evaluation of the contract, which left it out. That cost people their jobs, one including the high-ranking BYU official.
Mm.
And then coming back because of the handshake, there were three different handoffs of that the television contract with the Mountain West Conference from CSTV to, I think, CBS and a couple of others that went, and then it turned into the Mountain Network. And every time along the way, BYU did not receive its due for the Mountain West Conference. And the presidents of that conference would not stand up for BYU. Some would, some not. Majority would not. And when it ended ugly, and it ended with President Samuelson being very upset and making a show of his irate feelings. And now President Samuelson's gone, and his chief vice president is now the president, and he is very aware of what that relationship is. It's going to be very hard to get these people back together again with what BYU went through, what they asked for, what they were not given, and that's only the social aspects of putting this thing together.
Not the Mountain West Conference, but maybe a non-P5 school.
Well, the American Conference, maybe, that might be an opportunity there. And, but I think that we might be a little bit too premature to give up on what independence means. I mean, to be able to schedule, they haven't been able to do it now. They haven't been able to do it yet, but they're getting close to getting home-and-homes with the teams, that these named teams. They've had to go away and play and not get one back. But if Tom Homo is to turn that key and get these home games in here, then independence will be something you can recruit to, that if you win, and you've got to win, then you can see yourself go right up the ladder and be the New Year's Day Bowl. I don't think you'd be in a playoff. It's too hard with BYU and the recruiting base and all that. But you can make it to a New Year's Day Bowl, just like Boise State did. BYU has a lot of things that Boise State does not have, nor never will have. They just got to do things better. They got to coach better. They got to recruit better. They got to play better. They got to win games. You do that, I think independence will work. We just haven't seen it work yet.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's tough for me to swallow that pill of, oh, we need to get into a conference. I'm more like, no, why are you looking externally for excuses when you should be looking internally about how you can succeed, right, rather than why you're failing? I don't like that mentality. I understand that. I'm not discounting that. I'm saying that I think, you know, if a lot of this is not all Bronco Mendenhall's fault. I think a lot of it resides in the board of trustees just not supporting the sports programs as they should, right? So you got to find a way to, you know, increase your academics, your academic help. Right now, I think Bronco Mendenhall is like pleading for more academic help. You know, Dick, when you've been covering BYU for a long time, okay? BYU's academics what is expected from that student athlete has increased substantially, okay? And I don't know if anything has improved in the academic field to help out these young athletes to stay on top of their grades and if the resources are there. What do you have to say about that?
No, I think you're right. I don't want to deny great that some other schools, but there are other schools that seem to have ways to help people get through. And I don't know if I want to go down that road any further, but you see Gary Anderson leaving Wisconsin because he wasn't able to get people in and get them through. The University of Utah has done a great job in getting people in, saying we'll take care of you and then we'll get you through. Now, Kalani Sitake is a great recruiter and a friend of mine, and I know his father since we were both 12 years old in Tonga. He's up at Oregon State, and they're able to get people through and get people in and get people taken care of. Now, those are big things, and once the word gets out and people recruit like that, you're able to get certain athletes in a situation and get them through the system. And at BYU, it's very difficult. I think the frustration of BYU, or Bronco Mendenhall, is he's put his name on the line several times with some players and gone to the university and said, let's get them in. And then those players have simply failed. They failed in the classroom, they failed academically, and it's come back to cost him on the, what is that NCAA program where it's the graduation rate?
Yeah, it's GSR.
Yeah, there are heavy penalties made for when you accept somebody and you don't get them through. And BYU is not cutting the corners on getting people through. Are they getting help? Yeah, they're getting help here. They've got tutors. Yeah, they got tutors here and there. But it is still much more difficult for a person just to matriculate through BYU's system than it is for somebody at somewhere else. And for some athletes and for some parents and for some recruiters, they use that and say, we'll get you in, we'll get you through, we'll take care of you, and they do.
Dick, the legend, Harmon, your insight and analysis is invaluable, and your delivery is impeccable. I mean, you should probably have your own show rather than Brian and I, but we appreciate you joining us today. As always, it's our pleasure. Look forward to doing it again soon as Cougar Sports on ESPN 960 makes its launching point right here at Thanksgiving Point.
Great. Good luck to you guys. I hope it works, and I hope to hear you on the air. You got a great program, and both you guys are super guys.